An excerpt from Skaven Pestilence by Josh Reynolds, read by John Banks. Chapter 1. The Crawling City. Skurrilanx the Scurrying Dark, the Cunning Shadow, servant of the Great Corrupter, Vermin Lord and Blessed Child of the Horned Rat, crept on stealthy hooves through the dead temple towards its central chamber. The demon's massive frame was heavily muscled beneath his mangy hide, and his bifurcated tail lashed in equal parts annoyance and excitement as he ducked his many-horned, fleshless skull beneath a cracked archway. He crawled, skulked, scurried and slunk through the shadows cast by the eternal lightning storm which swirled about the cracked domes and shattered towers. Writhing streaks of lightning cascaded down broken statues or struck the pockmarked plazas of the temple complex. The sky above was a knot of painful, shimmering cobalt clouds, and the demon avoided the sight of it as much as possible. The mortals who had built this place called it the Sargol, the storm crown of the city worm. A fitting name, Skurrilanx thought, for a place where the air stank of iron and the elemental heat of Azir. Within the domed central chamber was a door to that realm, and it wept forever in fury. Perhaps that explained the lightning. Skurrilanx didn't know and didn't particularly care. Such doorways could be twisted out of shape and off path with ridiculous ease, if one knew the trick of it. But that was not his purpose here. Not yet, at any rate. He was no brutish warbringer or treacherous warpseer looking to conquer for conquest's sake. No, he was a child of the Great Witherer, born of blessed foulness and blighted shadows, and his was a higher calling. The Eater of all things was in turmoil, roiling with conflicting desires which could only be assuaged by that which Skurrilanx sought, or, rather, by that which his servants sought on his behalf. One of the 13 great plagues was here. He was certain of it, hidden away from the eyes of mortals and demons alike. Skurrilanx had followed its trail from the jade kingdoms of Gairan to the rime-encrusted tarnholds of the fallen duchies of Shaiish, and now, at last, here, to the Girlands and a city built on the broad, ever-undulating back of a colossal worm. And he had not come alone. No, no. Skurrilanx was a craftsman, and like all craftsmen, he possessed many tools. Two had come to the city worm at his command, though neither knew that the other served him. The Skaven of the Red Bubo procession and the congregation of fumes, drawn from the clan's pestilence, had risen at his order and drowned the inhabitants of the city in a fetid tide of pox and pestilence. Led by their quarrelsome plague priests, the two congregations had burst from the body of the worm, ringing their doom gongs and spreading noxious death wherever they scurried. It had been a thing of beauty and horror in equal measure. A civilization, millennia old, ruined in a fortnight by the teeming pestilent hordes that scurried forth at his behest. Even better, his chittering servants were now hard at work making this place fit for the children of the Horned Rat. Soon, this city, which had once belonged to the man-things, would instead be home to the clan's pestilence, and Skurrilanx would rule over them, whichever ones managed to survive, that is. He played no favourites, and was content to allow them the freedom to murder one another with vicious abandon. As long as one or the other found that which he desired, he cared nothing for their fate. They were in competition, and every setback and victory spurred them on to greater heights of cunning, just as he'd planned. Live or die, his triumph was assured. One of them would find the liber and bring it to him. Had he wished, he could easily have sought out the object of his desire himself. Indeed, there were some among his kin rivals who would have done just that. But Skurrilanx was patient. And besides, what was the point of having minions if one didn't let them serve? Had not the Horned Rat spawned his children to serve him, after all? Snickering, the Vermin Lord leapt onto the shoulder of Sigmar. Or his statue, at least. Stern, bearded, unforgiving, the massive sculpture of the man-thing god glared out over the chamber where once his followers had gathered in worship. The chamber glowed with an unpleasant radiance. The glow emanated from the vast iron hatch composed of intersecting plates and set into the base of the statue's plinth. Lightning dripped from it, crawling across the walls and floor in crackling sheets. It filled the air and made his hide prickle. The interlocking plates had been designed to be opened only in the proper order. Skyrlanx had no doubt that his cunning would prove equal to the task when the need arose. At but a touch, he would wrench the realm gate open and twist it back upon itself, turning the way to the Jade Kingdoms and the maggot-infested warrens his minions called home. Plague congregations and clawbands without number awaited but the merest whisper of his voice, for his schemes and the tools with which he enacted them were infinite. Beyond the chamber, through the shattered walls, Skyrlanx could see the wide, pillar-lined causeway which connected the ruined temple to the rest of the city.
"Blind! So blind! Yes, yes!"
the demon hissed, carving filthy runes into the statue's cheek. He had come here every day for weeks to do so, because it amused him, and the statue's face was all but swallowed up by the demonic graffiti.
"Can't see what's right in front of him. Oh, no. Blind god, broken god, dead god."
He looked up past the lightning to the amber skies of the Gurlands, where strange birds flew and worse things besides.
"Soon all of the gods will be dead, yes. Only one left. Only the strongest, the stealthiest, the most brilliant of gods. Yes, yes. All dead. And we will ascend in their place."
They would rise and flourish, spreading decay across the eight realms. Yes, and more besides. All realms, all worlds, all peoples would fall. All would rot, never to be renewed. From out of this glorious corruption, new life would swell. But not mortal life, not man-thing life, or hated Duardin. No, no. Only Skaven life. Only the faithful Skaven life. No place for the unbelievers. All things would die. And Shugol, the crawling city, would be the first. The air smelled of worm. Not an unpleasant smell by the standards of Wretch of the Red Bubo, but not altogether pleasing either. It was a coarse, acrid odour which clung tenaciously to everything here, living or otherwise. It filled the sprawling city of looming towers and swaying bridges, which the Skaven of the Clan's Pestilence had, for the most part, occupied. It was, even regrettably, in his fur. It overlaid his natural pungency, subsuming the unique tang of his many and varied blessings, drowning them in worm stink. Chittering in annoyance, he scratched at a ripe blister until it burst, briefly releasing a revivifying aroma of pus and blood into the air. The plague priest's thin nose twitched as the sickly sweet smell faded, and was once more replaced by the dry stench of the monstrous enormity known as Shugol, the crawling city. The great worm crawled ceaselessly across the amber steps of the Gurlands. Its segmented form stretched across the grasslands from sunrise to sunset, carrying the city and its people along with it. Shugol crept slowly from horizon to horizon, day after day, devouring all in its path with remorseless hunger. It was not alone in this. To Wretch's knowledge, there were at least 10 of the immense worms remaining in the grasslands, driven to the surface in eons past by great rains. Some day they might once more descend into the cavernous depths beneath the amber steps, but for now they seemed content to squirm mindlessly across its surface, cracking the earth with their weight. That suited Wretch just fine. The thought of all that amber-hued sky stretching far above was nothing less than terrifying to most Skaven. But Wretch was not most Skaven. And in any event, the Satine Palisades were cramped enough to make any child of the Horned Rat feel at home. The great bristle-like hairs which rose from the worm's hide were as hard as stone, and thousands had been hollowed out in ages past to make the tiered towers which rose throughout the city. Those hairs closest to the eternal lightning storm which wreathed Shugol's head had been made over into veritable citadels. They rose higher than any other structures in the city, and were connected by a vast network of bridges, nets, and heavy palisades made from quarried worm scale and frayed hairs culled from the worm's dorsal forests. From the uppermost tiers, which Vretch had claimed for his own, one could see the entirety of the crawling city. Not that there was much to look at. The man-things knew little of artisanry, preferring to stack stone rather than burrow through it. His chambers were in the highest tiers of the Satian palisades, where the city's noblest families had once resided. The former inhabitants now swung from makeshift gibbets and iron cages outside his windows, where they could be retrieved at any time he deemed necessary. Sometimes he rattled the chains, just to hear them moan. It had a soothing quality, which he had come to appreciate in the weeks since his arrival. The chamber at the heart of his domain was circular, and mostly open to the elements. The domed roof was supported by intricately carved pillars, and the floor was covered now by the tools of Wretch's trade, ever-seething pox cauldrons and bubbling alembics, piles of grimoire and heaps of parchment, and tottering stacks of cages in which plague-rats and moaning man-things waited for his ministrations. Flayed hides, still dripping and streaked with rot, hung like curtains from the roof, and the signs most sacred to the horned rat had been carved onto every available surface. Plague monks, clad in ragged robes, moved back and forth through the chamber, their scrawny limbs bound in filthy bandages. They worked at various tasks, stirring his cauldrons and refining the battle plagues they would inflict on the dwindling kernels of resistance within those areas of the crawling city they controlled. And then, and only then, it would be Crook's turn. Vretch's claws tightened unconsciously as he thought of his brutal and foolish rival. Crook, plague priest of Clan Festalingus, had pursued Vretch to Shugol like a bad smell. Then that had always been Crook's way. Indeed, Vretch could almost admire such single-minded determination, were it not for Crook's blasphemous inclinations. "Every Skaven knows proper buboes are red," Vretch thought, grinding his teeth as the old anger surged through him. "Red!" Both plague priests had followed a trail of stories whispered about the campfires of the savages who populated the amber steps, racing to be the first to find their quarry. Vretch's agents had spied upon the tribes of wild riders and nomads who fled before the approach of Shugol. The worm city crawled endlessly across the steppes and brought with it a strange plague which afflicted all those caught in its shadow. Vretch and his congregation had ascended on the worm, burrowing through its hard flesh and soft tissue to attack the city and its unprepared defenders from within. Or so they had planned. Vretch ground his teeth in frustration. They had erupted from Shugol's flesh to find the defenders already occupied with Crook and his heretical congregation of fumes. Now, Crook held the tailward section of the city past the dorsal barbicans, though how long he would remain there only the horned rat knew. He and Crook were both looking for the same thing, the source of the mysterious plague which stalked in Shugol's wake. It rose from the worm's ichors and stained the land black. The afflicted man-things grew hollow and rotted away, eaten inside out by burrowing black worms. He tested it numerous times since, and found it to be a thing of great beauty. Perhaps it was even one of the 13 great plagues. The floor beneath his claws shuddered unexpectedly, and he tensed, clutching at a support pillar. He scuttled to the window and peered out over the expanse of the crawling city, which sprawled like an unsightly encrustation across Shugol's broad segments. Its towers and tiers rose and fell with the segments and furrows of the great worm, upon whose back it had been erected in millennia past. Smoke still rose from beyond the distant walls of the dorsal barbicans. Crook's congregation hard at work, no doubt. Or perhaps something else. Only a few days ago, the skies overhead had grown dark and thunderous, and a harsh rain had fallen. Lightning had struck the great worm, causing it to shudder in agony. The storm clouds had dispersed somewhat as the worm continued its eternal crawl, but they were still there. His whiskers twitched. The Satine Palisades themselves rose in staggered levels, starting from a segment of the worm. The upper levels were built around the tops of Siti, so that they moved when the worm moved. They had been crafted with care and skill, raised by the hands of eager artisans to house the mighty and wealthy of Shugol. Now they were steadily being transformed into fields of rot and plague by the hands of their former inhabitants. How they wept, these weak man-things! How they shrieked and cried, as if they did not understand that all things rotted, all things died, even the great worms of the amber steps! He looked down, eyes drawn by the clangor of industry. Far below, his followers oversaw the excavation of the gut shafts. Hordes of man-thing slaves, chained with iron and disease, cleared the great pores of flesh and solidified mucus, opening a path into Shugol's interior. As he watched, a geyser of the worm's viscous blood spurted up, drowning a dozen slaves as the crawling city shuddered again. From somewhere far beyond the storm which wreathed the worm's head, a throbbing, dolorous groan sounded. Birds rose from the tops of the towers and fled, shrieking into the sky. Soon, Vretch thought, the worm would die, and its great hide would slough into bubbling ruin. A great stink would rise from it, choking the sky. It would be beautiful, Vretch thought, especially if Crook perished in the meantime. A garbled moan caused him to turn. His assistants cowered back from the source of the sound, and he could smell the whiff of fear musk rising from them. Vretch chuckled and waved them back. The monks huddled away as Vretch stepped towards the crude plinth which had been built around the largest of his pox cauldrons. The conglomeration was his finest work. A dozen slaves had gone into its creation. Their tormented bodies merged through a combination of 100 different plagues and poxes. Bile, pus, and blood from weeping sores and raw wounds had flowed together to harden into stony scabs. The twitching mass of flesh, bone, and infection sat astride its plinth and gazed down at Vretch with dull eyes.
"Vretch," the thing said, with many mouths. "I am here, my most verminous of masters," Vretch said.
The conglomeration was an oracle of sorts. On the rare occasions when it spoke, it did so with the voice of the great witherer. Other plague priests looked for their omens in the froth of cauldrons or the guts of boil-afflicted rats, but Vretch had provided the god and his servants a suitable receptacle for their mighty will.
"You are too slow, Vretch," the conglomeration hissed.
The various heads spoke all at once, their individual voices merging into a familiar baritone snarl that shook Vretch to his bones. It was ever thus. His patron spoke with the voice of the destroyer, the crawling entropy, the eater of all things, Skurrilanx, the scurrying dark. One of the mightiest of those vermin lords blessed to serve the horned rat in his truest aspect, that of the corrupter.
"Too slow, too slow. That heretical fool Crook is ahead of you. Where is my pox, Vretch? Where are my blisters, my buboes, my worm plagues?"
Vretch thrust a claw beneath his robes and scratched furiously at his greasy fur. Mention of his rival always made him itch. Red buboes.
Red,
he thought.
"Coming, coming, O mighty Skurrilanx," he said. "I read, study, quick, quick, yes? I must learn, know all there is, yes, yes?"
He scanned his chambers, the piles of scrolls, the bubbling cauldrons, the dismembered prisoners. Then, more firmly, he said,
"Yes."
The conjoined mass of Skaven flesh gave an impatient growl. Loose limbs flailed, and claws smacked the stone floor. Blind eyes rolled in their sockets as froth-stained muzzles snapped in apparent frustration. The whole mass gave the impression that it was about to tear itself apart. Vretch stepped back warily.
"Are you lying to me, Vretch?" Skurrilanx hissed. "What is there to study here? Crook controls the great library in the Dorsal Barbicans, not you."
"And many thanks for reminding me of that, O most scurvy one," Vretch thought sourly. The Library of Vermis, the repository of centuries of knowledge gleaned from the far reaches and diverse kingdoms of Gur by the scholar knights who'd founded it, lay in the hands of the one Skaven singularly unsuited to possess such a treasure.
Much, yes," he said, gesturing around in what he hoped was a placatory fashion. "More than one library in this squirming bastion, oh, mighty one."
He hunched forward and swept out a crusty claw, indicating his surroundings.
"I have found many much secrets, oh, conniving shadow,"
he said obsequiously.
"There is a world apart in the guts of the great worm. One of the missing libers is there. Your most loyal and faithful and devoted servant is certain."
The blind eyes of the conjoined Skaven rolled towards him, as if peering at him in judgment. The bulk swelled and quivered for a moment. Then Skurrilanx said,
"Yes, find this world for me, Vretch of Clan Morbidus, and Skurrilanx the Cunning shall see that you are rewarded beyond your wildest imaginings."
Several gnarled claws rose and gestured contemptuously.
"First, however, you must hurry quick and send your devotees tailwards. The old enemy has come, riding skyfire and bringing pain for the children of the horned rat."
"The lightning,"
Vretch said. He had seen the storm things before, at a distance, some months ago. It had been in the Jade Kingdoms, and he twitched as he recalled the gigantic silver-armored warrior who had slaughtered so many of his fellows in the Glade of Horned Growths. That was where he had first made Skurrilanx's acquaintance. The Scurrying Dark had filched his broken form from the battlefield, and they had made their bargain in the shadow of the great Blight Oak.
"Yes," Skurrilanx murmured through many mouths. "The destroyers of Clan Rickett, the harrowers of Murgid Fane, and Cripplefang have come to Shugol."
"And you want me to go towards them, greatest of authorities?"
Vretch asked.
"Yes."
Vretch scrubbed at his muzzle. After a moment he said,
"Why, O most scurviest of scurvies?"
"They will defeat Crook, or he will defeat them. But either way, the Library of Vermis will be lost to you. You must claim it and all of its wisdom,"
Skurrilanx hissed. The conglomeration grew agitated, and the plinth creaked beneath its weight.
"But I already have it, most blemished one,"
Vretch said, peering at the conglomeration.
"Access to it, at least."
He scratched at his chin, dislodging a shower of lice.
"Yes, yes, all mine, ours, ours, most lordliest of lords."
The blistered muzzles of the conglomeration turned towards him. The question hung unspoken on the air. Vretch shrunk back, somewhat unnerved by the expressions on its faces.
I have a claw in Crook's camp. My most cunning and wise and beautiful master,"
he said slyly. The demonically possessed mass grew still. Then, as one, the many mouths sighed.
"Of course you do."
The smell of blood hung as heavy as dust on the air of the Library of Vermis, and it only grew stronger as Crook dug one blistered talon into the cheek of the man-thing. Squeelch clutched at his ears as the man-thing began to scream again. The cries echoed through the wide circular chamber and even out along the ramparts of the dorsal barbicans in which the library nestled. Crook chittered in pleasure and continued with his ministrations, pulling and peeling the human's abused flesh until bone gleamed through the raw red.
"Talk, talk, man-thing,"
Crook gurgled, holding up a gobbet of dripping meat.
"Talk or lose more bits, yes, yes."
Squeelch looked away. He wasn't particularly squeamish, but between the noise and the smell, he was getting hungry. He gazed about him, taking in the Libraria Vermis and the bodies which now decorated its floors. In life, they had been something the man-things called Vermites, an order of holy warriors devoted to the library and its secrets. In death, most of them had begun the delightful slide into putrescence. Those who were not quite dead yet were chained or nailed to the great curved shelves which occupied the chamber to await Crook's attentions. Throughout the chamber, the most trusted members of Crook's congregation searched the great shelves for anything of interest, or fuel to feed the fires which heated their pox cauldrons. The plague monks worked under the watchful gazes of Crook's personal censer-bearers. The deranged fanatics held their spiked, smoke-spewing flails tightly and dribbled quietly, twitching in time to a sound only they could hear. Squeelch grimaced and turned as the man-thing librarian sagged in his bonds. He moaned softly as his blood spattered across the piles of loose pages and torn parchments which covered the floor. He was the seventh in as many days, and was sadly proving about as useful as the other six. Squeelch could only assume that the weeks of deprivation and torture had rendered them senseless. Either that, or the fact that neither he nor Crook could speak their language was proving a greater stumbling block than expected. Regardless, Crook's frustration was palpable. His scarred tail lashed like a whip as he dug his claws into the dying man's flesh. Squeelch cleaned his whiskers nervously, watching as Crook tore the hapless man-thing apart. The plague priest was a brute, even among the black-furred monstrosities of Clan Festalingus. He was broad for a Skaven, and his heavy robes made him seem all the larger. His cowl was thrown back to reveal a flat, wide skull wrapped in seeping bandages. Crook was missing his right ear and his left eye, courtesy of a rival plague priest, Vretch of Clan Morbidus, current occupier of the other half of the crawling city. Vretch had tried to obliterate Crook with a meticulously planned trap. As Squeelch recalled, it had mostly involved certain explosives procured from the clan's scryer at what was no doubt great expense, stuffed down the gullet of the man-thing Crook had selected for his second interrogation. Squeelch recalled this because he had been the one to plant them at Vretch's behest. It was always a behest with Vretch. An imploration, a request, a favour, commands by any other name. Commands that Squeelch was happy enough to follow, as long as it led to his assumption of the arch-squealership of the Congregation of Fumes. Even if Vretch was a heretical red bubite.
"Purple, that's a proper bubo,"
Squeelch thought. But still, by clinging to Vretch's tail, he might rise very far indeed. Unfortunately for them both, Crook was sturdier than he looked. Thus, Vretch and poor put-upon Squeelch would have to find a more effective means of his disposal. Squeelch had considered, and subsequently discarded, any number of options, from the mundane, a knife in the back, to the noteworthy, many knives, not just in the back, to the extraordinary, more explosives, and in greater quantities, possibly also filled with knives. But no real solution as yet had presented itself. Crook's resilience was frustrating. Under his leadership, the Congregation of Fumes had staggered from one massacre to the next, swelling and shrinking with an unfathomable virulence. But such destructive potential was wasted on a creature like Crook. Even Vretch agreed with that. There were better ways to spread the great Witherer's gospel through the mortal realms, and Squeelch would do it with Vretcher's backing. The congregation of Fumes would stalk at the forefront of Vretcher's procession and reap the benefits of that alliance. Why, together, they might even challenge the great clans themselves. But all of that was predicated on his removal of Crook, a task that seemed more difficult with every passing day. Crook was a monster, and Squeelch doubted that even a direct hit from a Plague Claw catapult would finish the other Plague Priest off. Two or three, at least, he thought nervously, watching as his superior dismembered his prey.
"Maybe more,"
he muttered.
"What did you say?"
Crook hissed, turning to glare at him.
What? Speak up quick fast, Squeelch."
Brown fangs flashed as he stepped towards his lieutenant. Squeelch shied back, clutching his boil-dotted tail to his chest as he tried to avoid Crook's single, madly gleaming eye.
"Nothing, oh, most pestiferous one," he squeaked.
He was beginning to suspect that his bargain with Vretch hadn't been well thought out.
"Lying,"
Crook crooned, stretching the word out. He reached out a bloody claw and grabbed a handful of Squeelch's whiskers. Squeelch whined and fought the urge to squirt the musk of fear as Crook pulled him close.
"Speak, Squeelch, or I will tear out your tongue and eat it. Yes, yes?"
Crook's own tongue slid out to caress his scarred muzzle, as if in anticipation. The Plague Priest had eaten his last second-in-command, Squeelch recalled. No, not well thought out at all, he thought, in growing panic. His hand edged towards the poison-encrusted dagger hidden within his robes. He would only get one chance, if Crook decided he'd outlived his usefulness.
"Crook!"
Crook released Squeelch and turned, good eye narrowing in consternation.
"Crook, master of the Fumes, heed me."
"Scurrilanx,"
Crook muttered. Squeelch swallowed. The air had taken on an oily tang. He could hear and feel something gnawing its way towards them, through the spaces between moments. His head ached, and blisters burst and popped on his flesh as he staggered back, scratching at himself. The flesh of his tail grew hot, and he felt as if his stomach might burst. He heard a skittering as of a thousand rats, and then the body on the floor began to wriggle and twitch in a most unseemly fashion. A great talon rose upwards through the bloody midsection of the dead man, clawing at the air. Then it fell, striking the floor. Clawed fingers spread, and wormy muscles bunched. With a sound like a branch being pulled free of mud, something monstrous hauled itself out of the corpse's midsection. A narrow head, bare of flesh and topped by massive horns, breached the blood first. Then a second talon. The sound of buzzing flies filled the air, and eyes, which glimmered sickeningly, fixed unwaveringly on the two plague priests. Squeelch cowered back, trying to make himself as small as possible. Crook tensed, his scabrous tail lashing.
"Greetings, most high Scurrilanx, cunning shadow and mighty pestilence,"
the burly plague priest said, his good eye narrowed in wariness.
"To what do I owe this pleasure, O most esteemed patron?"
"No pleasure, Crook, only impatience. Where is my liber, Crook? Where is the great plague?"
Scurrilanx said, blood running down his mangy fur.
"Have you found it yet?"
Squeelch flinched as the demon's voice echoed through his head. Crook's demonic patron was a power unlike any other. He loomed over the two plague priests, and the tips of his great curving horns scraped the domed ceiling of the library. Clouds of flies swarmed about his massive shoulders, and lice squirmed in his mangy fur. His cloven hooves drew sparks from the stone floor as he shifted impatiently. Crook looked down at the body the vermin lord had emerged from, and then up at the demon.
"No, O most scabrous one," he said.
His shoulders were hunched, and his head held low. Not even Crook was mad enough to openly challenge a first-born child of the horned rat.
"The man-things are stubborn," Crook said.
The demon's fleshless jaws clacked in seeming frustration.
You hold one of the greatest libraries in this realm, Crook. Have you even thought to search for my book amongst all of these others?
The demon hissed, extending a hand to indicate the shelves which surrounded them. Crook blinked and looked around. Squeelch tried his best to make himself inconspicuous. As he shied back, the demon's gaze fell on him. What might have been amusement flickered in that hellish gaze, and Squeelch froze. He knows, he thought in growing panic. He knows.
Stupid, stupid man-thing books hold no answers worth the name, O horned and hoofed one,
Crook said, gesturing dismissively. As he spoke, the ground shuddered, and several of the great shelves toppled, spilling their burdens across the floor. Panicked squeals came from outside on the ramparts, as Shugol convulsed in what Squeelch suspected was agony. The quakes had been growing stronger and happening more often. Hundreds of Skaven and man-things alike had died, crushed by the twitching segments of the worm as it trembled.
"Vretch believes that they do,"
Skurrilanx said slyly, as he shoved a fallen shelf aside.
"Vretch!"
Crook growled. Iridescent foam bubbled in the folds of his muzzle.
"Kill, kill! Tear! Bite him! Yes, yes!"
The plague priest continued, hunching forward, his bloody claws opening and closing uselessly on the air.
"Strike him down for me, mighty Skurrilanx!"
Skurrilanx rose to his full height.
"Who are you to command me thus, priest? I am the will of the great ruiner made manifest. You do my will, little flea,"
the vermin lord hissed, his tail lashing in anger.
"And I say that there are more important matters to attend to than your petty murder lust, or even your failure to find my pox."
The demon sank to its haunches as Crook backed away, head bowed.
"More important," Crook said slowly.
"Lightning things come, Crook. More dangerous even than Vretch. You must kill them, quick, quick,"
the vermin lord said, stirring the gory remains of the librarian with one of his curved talons. Squeelch blinked. They'd heard and seen the lightning which struck the outskirts of the city, causing the great worm to heave and thrash. Crook had dismissed it and the subsequent reports of fighting in the lower segments of the city. The congregation of fumes had spread like a miasma, each individual choir rampaging through a chosen section of the city, killing those who resisted their attacks and capturing those who didn't. But that already unsteady flow of chattel had been interrupted. Crook, with his usual simplicity, had assumed the others had fallen to fighting amongst themselves over some scrap of street or a theological debate, as was their wont. Squeelch's own congregation had reported sighting strange flying shapes, neither bird nor beast, and the sound of lightning, though the sky was clear. But lightning things! He clutched his tail, kneading his sores in agitation.
"Lightning things!"
Crook hissed, his good eye widening in pleasure.
"Yes!"
Squeelch tensed. He knew that tone. Crook was insane. His brain was rotted in his mossy skull. He had a love for bloodshed that outstripped even that of a demon like Skurrilanx.
"Yes, I shall rip them and break them. I shall fill their pretty armour with maggots,"
said Crook. He whirled and caught Squeelch by his robes.
"Get your plague claws, Squeelch. Fill the air with great clouds of pestilence and your lovely poisons. I would fight in the shade."
That was Skaven Pestilence, excerpt by Josh Reynolds, read by John Banks.